Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast, to what is possibly going to be the least listened to podcast we've ever done, I would expect. My name is Duncan Mackay and I am joined by Tom Watt.
The least listened to for the moment. We may well break this record yet. Hello, yes. I would love to say I'm thrilled to be here, but thrilled to be here, just not thrilled to have to talk about this again.
Yes, so we are talking about the game that took place this afternoon at Hampden Park. The first time that Hampden ever has hosted a major international tournament game, which I think is something which is actually quite remarkable given the history of Hampden. But it saw a typically Scottish performance in which we built ourselves up and then we were beaten 2-0 by a ordinary Czech Republic team. I think that would be a fair way of putting it.
Yeah, I think they weren't great. I think one of many frustrations, and we will come on to lots of them, is anyone who has watched the Czech Republic play at any point and watched their manager or listened to anyone talk about what they do knows how the Czech Republic play, how they set up, what the individual players do and how they fit into the system. And we didn't really seem to have given that any huge amount of thought.
Yeah. Well, I think we should probably go back to the start and we'll try and work our way through the afternoon. Great build-up. I have to say props to the BBC for a really good build-up there 45 minutes before the game, including our pals at Studio Something, the video they did with Biffy. There was a really nice interview between Ellie Barber and Andrew Robertson, stuff like that. Like it did have such a big match feel, and like the sound, the atmosphere at Hampden sounded amazing for what it turned out to be. The announced attendance was 9,000 something or other, which is slightly disappointing, I suppose, if you didn't get tickets for those games. And Hampden looked and sounded pretty amazing. And then, the game itself, I just found so... I think we got a little bit of the wind taken out of our sails when we saw that Kieran Tierney wasn't going to be playing. Again, the Czech Republic side, let's be honest, it was kind of what we expected. But how were you feeling when you saw that we were going to be starting with just Lyndon Dykes up front and without Kieran Tierney?
The Dykes up front on his own didn't worry me quite so much, because there's at least a school of thought that playing Dykes with Christie and either Armstrong or McGinn, who I thought would be quite close in behind, is every bit as attacking as playing, I don't know, like McCormick, McGinn, and Gilmore and Adams. Yeah, I mean, you've got at least two players. Like, Christie doesn't defend. That's not what he's there for. That didn't worry me. Tierney not being there is such a blow. I mean, it's the one that there isn't another team in world football that plays that has worked at playing the way that Scotland have, with the sort of, I mean, the Kieran Tierney role for Scotland, where we've got an overlapping centre back and an attacking full back, and they're the two best players on the team. That was a worry. That was a concern. I think, although we had maybe 8 minutes of momentum at the start of the game, and I think there's been lots of opinions, as there always are when Scotland don't win, about like how we might have started. I don't think the way that we started and the 11 that we put out, there was a huge amount of complaints at the start. I certainly didn't have any huge complaints with the team that we put out at the start. I mean, my complaints were more that we weren't able to change it, and the changes that we did make seemed to be a bit haphazard and not really pinpointing what we needed to do from it. But I mean, I think there were two periods. There was maybe like a 8 or 9 minute period at the start of the first half, and about the same from about 50 minutes when we looked fairly decent. But there was just too many. For me, it wasn't so much that there was any huge mistakes or any one player had a particularly bad game, but just as, like, you know, tiny 1%, 2% differences here or there add up to being quite a lot bigger than the sum of their parts. Too many people were off the boil. Too many people didn't have a great game. Too many chances were missed. Too many people just were a little bit off. And those tiny little increments added up to actually, you know, being quite a long way behind the Czech Republic.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I found the first half especially some of the tensest I've ever felt watching football. I'm not sure what was it, just because it was such a big deal for Scotland. And yes, I know I am the person that several months ago had suggested that we shouldn't even bother qualifying. That was a terrible opinion at the time, and I'm glad I've been bullied for it. but I just found the whole thing tense, and I found that the performance was slightly tense as well, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not saying that it translated from my living room in Dunbar onto the players on the pitch, but they were just not as fluid as they needed to be, I think, to win a game in a major championship, if that makes sense. And obviously, I think there's a huge amount of which is inevitable. It always happens in international football, but there is a lot of scoreboard analysis about this game, because I don't think, like, this was not one of the most awful Scotland performances. Like, I've seen, like, you know, like, they performed a lot worse at major tournaments and not in major tournaments over the years. Like, this wasn't a terrible performance. What it was an off key performance. And the problem is you can't have those in an international tournament. You can't have them in a tournament that at best, you could have three games to play, and you can't afford that. And I think that, you know, the Kieran Tierney stuff kind of played into it. I think most people would say that Steve Clarke is someone who potentially overthinks his selections, and I better than someone who doesn't think would be my analysis of that. But yeah, like, I think that the defense especially, I think, just looked a little unsettled. You saw that even in the first half, where they weren't clearing their lines effectively as they should have been, and those are small aspects, but if you are kind of just fanning about with the ball sometimes, or being a bit over elaborate, or even just the angle being slightly off on the the back pass you're giving back to the goalkeeper or whatever, it slows everything down. And I think that one of the good things about Tierney and Robertson on that left-hand side is that neither of them are afraid to bring the ball out. You don't necessarily trust the team that started today to do that.
Although there was one blinding turn of pace from Grant Hanley, which I didn't know he had. Get back and cover. No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I actually think there were two, and this is slightly after the fact, but not hugely. I think we could have pointed to the one point that we have made previously. Yes, Scotland badly missed Kieran Tierney, but the other player that I think they sorely missed was Ryan Jack, or a Ryan Jack-shaped player, because I think Stuart Armstrong is at his best when he's driving forward. Scott McTominay has played in defence for Scotland, but he's been at his best for Manchester United when he's been driving forward, and McGinn's been at his best for Scotland in support of the attack. And I think, especially as we had a defence that hadn't played together, that were a little bit more... we've effectively got three no-nonsense defenders. There's not a huge amount of football in that defence, and I don't think I'm being unkind to that. Having somebody to protect it, especially when Scotland were getting forward, when Scotland were breaking, we were putting seven bodies forward at one time. So there were a couple of times even before they scored when we were losing the ball. They only had one man nominally up front, but when they were breaking against us, we were a little overrun in midfield on the counter. So I think those are the two areas that maybe we could have been a bit smarter with from the get-go. Tierney, there's not an awful lot we can do. I think we put out a defence as best we could, but somebody anchoring that midfield, and I don't think it's playing to the strengths of the three players that we have in that. If you're going to go with, those three, then I think one of them needs to be anchored there, and his job is just to sweep up and sit. But I think the other thing that was a bit of a... There were too many people that were nervous or just not quite on their game. I think Stephen O'Donnell has been good for Scotland, and we know his limitations, and the right
we
back...
Saw, area, I think we definitely saw them today.
Yeah, we definitely saw them today. And both in nerves when he just couldn't take a touch and he knocked the ball out for a throw-in early on, and he got in Ryan Christie's way trying on the overlap, but also tactically and just a little outclassed. And, you know, that's not necessarily a reflection of him. It's an international level. It's a game up. But also there were definitely nerves, and I think there were just too many. The other big disappointment for me was that, and like you say, we were not terrible. We did create chances. We should have scored. We had enough chances. We probably had more like clean cut chances. I know people have made an awful lot over the fact that expected goals suggested Scotland should have won the game. But I think the point on that is Scotland did create chances and were, I wouldn't necessarily say wasteful, but you need to take those chances when you get them, and a good goalkeeping display as well. I think Backlick and the Czech keeper had a very good game. But I think the problem for me was, especially at halftime when we were a goal down and O'Donnell hadn't had a particularly good game. I don't think Armstrong had had a particularly good game. I don't think that defence was working. I thought Christie had had a decent-ish couple of flourishes, but he was in and out of it, and I don't think it was the right game for him. You could have made any of those substitutions, and we needed to change the momentum of the game, and left that too late. And when they ultimately did make substitutions, it didn't. It looked awfully like throwing on attacking bodies and hoping for the best, rather than we know what they're going to do. They're now going to try and counter us.
Yeah, and I think that we had two. I mean, there weren't sitters, but there was good chances. It was the one after 17 minutes with Lyndon Dykes, we flashed at the near post, and then just before, and then after 31 minutes, the ball falls to Andy Robertson, and I know it's from distance, but you've got to be, he's got to be doing more than, with that chance. And then the Czech Republic score with a good header. We've got to give Shuk plaudits for that. But to me, an avoidable goal, because they were using the same corner technique almost three corners in a row, and we still hadn't caught on to it.
Yeah, and we need to be not just the corners, but like losing second balls from corners and not getting out to close down quick enough. I mean, I think Darren Fletcher made a good point in the analysis that if you're man marking, you do sometimes, and Stephen O'Donnell gets caught in two minds as to whether he should stick with his man or go out and close down the cross. But nobody getting out to close down that, and it's a really good header, but it was those kind of fine margins where you might get away with it against lesser sides, or you might get away with it at club level, but you're not going to get away with it. And there were too many of those fine margins in attack and in defence.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big conclusions I took away from that game is that this might sound odd, but I think there's more chance of England thrashing the Czech Republic than there is of England thrashing Scotland. He says, touching wood very heavily and ahead of Friday. No, but like I think that was not a particularly good Czech Republic team, but they got their noses in front and then knew how to play it. I mean, even you could just tell that if things just didn't go Scotland's way. And what you can only hope is a learning curve as opposed to a talent deficiency. But just you saw the difference that even the halftime the substitution of Che Adams made. Just suddenly had Scotland were attacking with a bit more purpose, and you saw that admittedly Jack Hendry having a shot that hits the crossbar and stuff like that. There seemed to be a sense that Scotland felt they could score, and then the problem was that then the Czech Republic score, and it really did feel like it just fell apart from that point. It didn't feel at that stage that Scotland thought, there was the idea that they could, if we get one goal back, we could maybe get into it, but I didn't sense from that point on there was belief that we could still win or draw this game.
I think there are a couple of things there. I think one of them, I think the credit I would give the Czech Republic is when they got their second goal, they killed the game, and they were pretty solid defensively. They didn't need to be adventurous, and that's kind of what they've made their reputation on.
And now they've set themselves up for the potential to qualify from the group because they've got this one win.
Yeah, you start the qualifier group with a win, and you're probably only looking for another point. I mean, you might even qualify with that one win. So, credit to them there. The other thing is, while I'm not making excuses for too many players not being on their game, or I think Steve Clarke making some tactical mistakes and substitutions maybe that didn't quite pay off, didn't make sense to me, it was international football, such fine margins. Czech Republic score, fair enough.
And we have to say, it is an unbelievable goal.
It's an unbelievable goal. It's one in 100. Unbelievably good goal. Yes, there were mistakes in it. Yes, David Marshall's a long way out from it. Maybe somebody should have been across and covering a little bit better than they were, but it is an unbelievably good goal. It's not like it starts well outside the post and curls round into the corner. It's an unbelievably well taken goal, but at the same time, Scotland had their chances. They'd hit the bar. They'd had the one that had come off the Czech defender and looped up over the goalie. Very fine margins there.
Dykes has a chance. Dykes straight to the keeper. Chance. Yeah.
there were chances even late on, like James Forrest trying to square it across the box rather than shooting when he probably should have. We did create chances, and on another, and this is not an excuse, but on another day would have at least made that more competitive. Were it not for switching off in one, we switched off, we conceded an absolute worldie. There were no like massively contentious refereeing decisions, but there was a lot of both fussiness and letting things go. I think
there was a lot of things that in a normal, I think John McGinn is a prime example. John McGinn wins so many fouls at international level because he anticipates contact and goes down and usually gets those free kicks. There was a lot of, he was letting a lot of things go, but at the same time then was choosing the various points to be quite pernickety, which seemed a bit like it was, I mean, again, we can have no real complaints because he was the same for both sides, but that is another facet of the game that Scotland need to get more mature at and adapt to. And I think that's what one of the things that I take as a better thing from how we're feeling about it is that we're feeling disappointed, and there's an element, I went and walked the dog at 4 o'clock because I was like, I didn't necessarily think it would do my well-being the best if I just sat there doom scrolling, but aside from Graham Spears' spectacularly wild hot take that this was like Argentina 78 when it just wasn't, people seem annoyed, which is good. Like we should have done better, we can do better, as opposed to this fatalistic, oh well, it was just nice to be there, it was a good laugh, I think that's a good sign, and I think it's a sign of progression and dare say maturity in around Scottish football fans. And obviously it doesn't help that your next game is then against the top seeds, but I know that there's going to be a preview show of that later on this week, so we'll not try and spoil too much of that. But the fact that we weren't to our bare bones, yes, we lost Tierney, but that there is different things we can do is good. It's also can be problematic in terms of you allow loads of people to think that actually the difference would have been, starting Billy Gilmour or what have you. And there's always going to be a lot of what ifs. But I think that, it's a difficult, like, I think, I don't think, did Steve Clarke get it 100% right? Absolutely not. But is there any guarantee that had he done anything else that the outcome would be the same? Again, very difficult to say.
Yeah, I think both of those points are absolutely fair. I think like we've touched on, too many players just weren't quite at the races, weren't quite able to do, and there were these very fine margins. And yes, there is a feeling of being let down, and I would assume the players feel a little bit like they maybe just didn't give the best account of themselves. Too many players who have had very good seasons, with a couple of exceptions, I think. There were a couple of players. I think Robertson, the first half in particular, was much more like the Liverpool Andy Robertson in particular. Depending on how, I think David Marshall largely had a very good game, other than maybe being a little far out from his goal when he gets lobbed. But even that would give him a pass on. There were too many players that weren't quite at the races. Having said that, I don't think this is a write-off. If I had been in charge of that in Football Manager, I would definitely be loading it and trying again, because it's not out with. I would absolutely be like sulking about it, reloading it, and going with not a drastically different look at it. So I don't think it's a write-off completely. I think we just need to use it and learn from it. And there are tweaks to it rather than wholesale changes. And if we can make some tweaks to it, most of the personnel that started are going to start again against England. So, we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we need more from the players who got us here.
Yeah. I think that I totally agree with that. And again, also there's, I think that there was not an unrealism, that's maybe not fair, because I think that we're entitled to think that we should do well in this group, like that we should qualify from it. Like, you know, I think that's not, but again, they're all that we should also taint that with an element of realism, that this is, you know, we do have one of the youngest squads, we have some of the most, one of the most inexperienced squads. Yes, we do have some players that are playing at, you know, at Manchester United and Liverpool and stuff, and those are all good things. Same time, you know, we started with one Celtic player, really. Well, two if you count players on loan that are about to be sold. But you know, like, you know that, and no Rangers players, and obviously, yeah, there's circumstances around that and stuff like that. But like that still points to things not being, they're not saying that we, this is like a golden generation that have one chance to make their shot, if you know what I mean. I think we've just got to accept that actually some of this is going to be like, you know, slow building of the foundations that we make sure that actually qualifying becomes a regular thing, not this once in a generation event that then we, you know, project all our hopes, fears, and everything else onto, which, you know, I think, I don't know. Do you think it would have been better if we were not playing at Hampden, like, for example, or what have you? Like, again, there's no point. There's also, I've asked that question, and I'm about to say it's pretty pointless because that, you know, this is the this is the hand we've been dealt. But there seems to be a lot of things that people might think are solely good, but actually are maybe not.
I know what you mean. I think for anyone that was there and for anyone that's gone through the last year, 18 months, being able to get out and see a game at Hampden must have meant a lot, even though, and you know, not patronising anyone by saying must have meant a lot regardless of the result. But there is maybe a bit of added expectation because of that. Maybe we were a little bit more attacking because of that. Maybe had we played... if we were playing in Bucharest and it felt a little bit more like a slightly more hostile environment or a certainly less positive environment, we would have been a little bit more conservative, possibly. But I think the point about this not yet being a golden generation is absolutely valid. And I think we've got a lot of very good players. We've got a lot of players playing in some of the best teams in the world. We've also got a lot of players who are playing, with the greatest respect to, you know, QPR, Motherwell, Norwich, etc., who are not necessarily playing for spectacular teams, but they're the best that we've got at the moment for one reason or another. We're going to have to be more cohesive, and we're going to have to accept that sometimes we're going to be outclassed in certain areas. We're going to need more from, we're going to need a little bit more from these things. So I think that there are two things, one that's within our control and one that isn't. We lost against Czech Republic because too many people didn't turn up. And didn't just, we needed more than some six and sevens out of 10. We needed everyone to be sort of eights for this to work properly. And nobody was remotely stand out. There were some okay-ish performances, but nobody stood out. And the second one, we just need a bit of luck. And we didn't really get that either. I think it's probably 70-30 because you can't really, we should have done better with some of our chances and you do make your own luck in it. But I think there is, it should be a warning sign to some extent to get everybody focused on the England game and the Croatia game. We're not out of it. You know, we're not out of it by any stretch. If we can do a little bit more like we have shown in the friendly against the Dutch or in some of the, in the qualifiers, then, you know, what we saw of England and what we saw of Croatia, they weren't there to be completely feared, but you know, we just need to up our game a bit.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good place to finish up on the Scotland game. I suppose we should just mention the fact that being at a major tournament's quite nice, though. Like that, being part of it, being known that you're that your day's coming up the next day, or that, you know, that there's other games on and stuff like that. Like I certainly feel more involved in this tournament than any have for quite a while. And maybe that's pandemic related, but also maybe Scotland related as well. But like it's nice to know that we're part of a cog in this, I suppose.
I'm coming round to that again.
maybe not at 4:15 or whatever. Yeah.
I think I've spent the best part of, you know, many, many months looking forward to it, then spent an hour feeling like super excited, just like couldn't concentrate on anything else. 2 hours of hating it, like being nervous and tense and not enjoying any part of it. I've spent the last 3 or 4 hours gradually coming around to it, but largely thinking it was quite nice when it was just a festival of football and I could watch, I don't know, like Belgium against Slovakia and just enjoy it for what it is in the sort of casual spectator half and half scarf way. But no, coming around to it, give it by Wednesday and I'll be absolutely fired up and we're going to win.
Yeah. Buzzing again for Friday. Yeah, I suppose that's all we can say is that we, like a cliche, but we have to go again. I can't remember exactly who will be here on Thursday with a preview of that game. And then I think on Saturday morning, me and Fowler are doing a review of the Scotland game. So, I mean, I'm expecting him to be useless if he's drinking, and I'm not very perceptive at the best of times, so, and I am drinking during the game as well. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, fingers crossed. Hope everyone is enjoying the football aside from this afternoon. And yeah, we'll hope to all see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.